If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1, OUTDOOR, and the number 1. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're talking about scents. We talk about urine and orbital glands. We also talk about cover scents and scent elimination. And today we're going to be talking with Matt Wade from Code Blue. Code Blue's been around for a while, and they are, I guess, a staple in the hunting community, in the hunting industry when it comes to those types of scents, especially their what Matt calls their one deer, one bottle application. To get the most realistic scents possible. And so that's what today's topic is about. Now, in the past, when I first started hunting, this scent game is, to me, it's interesting, right? And I mentioned this from a deer behavior, deer biology standpoint, how they use scent, how they communicate with scent, but how the hunting industry has kind of played off of that into selling products. Now, going back to when I originally started hunting, and I mentioned that in this podcast, that I was the guy who would get the earth-scented wafers, right? I'd wear them on my hat. I'd wear them on my shirt. I would put them in, put those wafers in totes of all of my clothes, and that would be kind of my scent cover-up. And then when I would get out of the vehicle, I would spray down with all the sprays. I used to chew gum that supposedly made your breath not stink as bad. Just a whole bunch of stuff. And today, I use things like cover spray, and that would be nose jammer. And when I'm in the tree, I use a product like Ozonix, which eliminates all this odor, right? And dilutes the surrounding area, and it makes kind of a long story short, ozone in its own, in multiple applications, whether it's in the tree stand or application on the clothes. So I've kind of run the gamut and still kind of play that scent game. Now, one thing I don't typically do is the urine, right? I in the past, I haven't done mock scrapes. I used to do drag rags back in the day when I was younger. I don't do that anymore. But one thing that I'm really going to pay attention to this year, and might even play the mock scrape game a little bit more with the orbital gland, maybe in September or something like that. And Matt today talks a little bit about all of that stuff. So it's a pretty quick episode. Lots of information comes at you real fast, not only about deer and how they use scent and their products and how they're properly used, but how he would recommend using them. So it's a pretty quick, pretty fun episode. It's different because I don't typically talk with scent companies on here. And maybe it's because I'm a little skeptical. I don't know. I would love to hear your guys' feedback on this when it comes to what kind of scents you use. You know, there's guys out there when it comes to scent elimination, they do not take any shortcuts. They're the guys who keep it in the totes. When they get out to the woods, they get out of their truck, have a whole new set of clothes that they change in. They go in, and then there's guys like me who I take naps. I do a whole day in the clothes. I'll go to the tree, but then I do a dry wash cycle before most of my hunts. So who knows? And who knows what is the right way to do it? Again, awesome episode. But before we get into today's episode, we're going to do a little commercial break here. And I want to send a huge shout out to Tethered because I'm really excited about trying out the saddle this year. And I've been pressured by enough people in the saddle hunting community, I guess you want to call it, who have basically pushed me into a corner and say, dude, it's time to try a saddle. So here I am telling you that I'm going to be trying a saddle. And to be honest with you, I've had it in a tree already. I've had a couple sticks up. I've sat in it. I haven't shot my bow out of it yet, but I can see how if you got a strong core, you could sit there and just kind of be very comfortable all day. The profile, I'm interested in going into the woods with very low profile, and that means no tree stand, right? Just a climbing method, which I'm going to probably use the same sticks that I've always used. So that's Tethered, and if you're looking for a saddle, go check Tethered out. In the mix of all that right now, you know, it's, I don't know about this inflation, though. It's kind of throwing me for a loop. Shit, I just saw gas that's $4.45 by where I live. And that to me is absolutely ridiculous. And if it's that high during the hunting season, I don't know if I'm going to be going on as many trips this year as I would in the past, but so I'm daydreaming a lot. I'm still prepping for those hunts, and I'm doing a lot of that on hunt stand and basically just scouring public land in a variety of different states. If you're looking for a very affordable, high-functioning mobile hunting app, you need to check out HuntStand because it has the most features compared to any other mobile app that's out there. So make sure you go check out HuntStand. Go to HuntStand.com. You can read up on all that functionality. And there's a lot of cool new things coming from HuntStand. And I've had those guys on before, but I'm going to have to get them back on because these guys are they're doing some interesting stuff and some really cool stuff. Then we have The Average Conservationist. Huge shout out to Marcus. He has The Average Conservationist podcast here on the Sportsman's Empire Network. Be sure to check that out, but also go to theaverageconservationist.com and check out their whole lineup of t-shirts, hats. It's a lifestyle brand, really cool logos, very comfortable t-shirts, man. He sent me a whole box of them. I wear them just about every day, and they're the very comfortable t-shirts that fit really nice around the chest and arms. And if you have love handles, it doesn't show your love handles. So I'm a big fan of that. And then, so make sure you go check out The Average Conservationist and maybe go onto their Instagram page and tell them I sent you. And then lastly, we have Annihilator Broadheads. Now, these guys, Stubbs Media has reached out to me and was like, hey man, you got any, space for some advertising? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, we got Annihilator Broadheads and they want a little exposure. I'm like, hey man, you know, I got no problem shouting out a company. And so here's a couple of bullet points they sent me. And, you know, you guys can go to their website, Annihilator Broadheads, and check them out. One thing that they really say that they're pretty proud of is that they get more pass-throughs, right? And one of the reason more pass-throughs and less deflections on some of their harder quartering shots. And because it allows the arrow to basically, the way it's designed, it allows the arrow to hit, like hook in, get into the animal. And because of the wound channel, it doesn't create drag on the arrow, which allows the arrow to have all the energy go through it. So go check out Annihilator. They got some really cool things on their website, you know, a lot more information about it. Just go check them out. And another thing that they kind of pride themselves on is they say groups like at field point accuracy at longer ranges. So the broadhead holds true at longer distances, and there's not a lot of that planing or I don't know, whatever that certain broadheads do at longer distances, right? So the accuracy is there. So go check out Annihilator Broadheads, and those guys are going to be on the show here pretty soon as well. So we've done the intro, we've done the commercials. Huge shout out to all the brands. Huge shout out to all of you. If you guys like the Hunting Gear podcast, please hit me up on Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram and let me know what you want to hear. And I will happily interview you. If you're a gear nut, interview you, interview anybody who wants to talk about hunting gear, even the companies that you might recommend as well. So let's do it. And I say we get into today's episode, Code Blue, with Matt Wade. 3, 2, 1. All right. On the phone with me today from Code Blue, Matt Wade. Matt, how we doing, man?
Hey, you're doing great. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing good, man. It sounds like you've, I don't want to say fully recovered, but you've recovered enough from being sick to hop on the podcast today.
Yeah. So for everybody listening, Dan has tried to schedule this podcast with me about 20 times now, and lost my voice a couple times, had some sickness in the family, and trying to get over it. I'm going to try to keep from coughing into the microphone too much today, but happy to be on the podcast and talk with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the topic of conversation today is Code Blue and deer scent and deer scents and things like that. Before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you do at Code Blue?
Okay. I'm the product manager for Code Blue. So basically, I manage the brand from top to bottom, pretty much. I do our production planning, our product sourcing, new product development, generally anything to do with Code Blue Sense or Decode Scent Eliminators falls under my hat. So it's a kind of a flagship brand here at Pradco. It was our first purchase. Pradco is kind of our parent company over some iconic hunting brands, and Code Blue was the first purchase back in, I believe, in 92 or 93, and has stayed as a staple under Pradco since then. We've got, you know, some other iconic brands that you recognize as well, and I work closely with those guys on products like our attractants for Moultrie. Stay pretty much involved in anything that will attract deer.
Yeah, and that's a perfect transition, because to me, how a deer uses their nose and how deer use scent in their behavior is really fascinating to me. Everything from the glands, you know, in their eyes to the roof of their mouth to, you know, the tarsal glands on their legs and all that stuff. It's really fascinating how they communicate with each other by scent. And that kind of leads me into the first question I have for you is, from a biology standpoint, what do you guys do over there at Code Blue, if any, to research deer biology and to come up with the best product?
We're constantly trying to refine our product line to best attract deer. That's one thing that in the beginning of the company, something that kind of sets us apart from our competitors. There's a lot of, you know, great companies in the scent industry, but our calling card is really our one deer to one bottle collection process. Like you were saying, the way that deer use their sense of smell pretty much above all other scents is just really important to learn as a hunter, especially, you know, as a new hunter or a younger hunter. I learned a lot of lessons the hard way that, you know, you're going to get yourself in trouble if you're not worried about your scent, if you're putting out scent at the wrong time. You know, the way that they use their nose is just, you know, it's tough to beat. So the one deer to one bottle process is, you know, something that, you know, we stake our brand on. And, you know, that collection of one deer gives you the most lifelike, you know, response out in the wild. So, you know, it's really important for Code Blue.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about why, though, like from a biology standpoint, like, why is it best to have one deer sample or urine in one bottle?
Well, so think of it in terms of just how you smell or how I smell. Our sense of smell is not nearly as, you know, as good as a deer's. I think some studies say it's up to 1,000 times better than a human's, human's nose. So you go into a perfume store and you know that smell when you walk in, it's just overwhelming. You know it's perfume, you can identify the smell. The way that they smell is, you know, they smell 100 different scents. So, you know, when you go out in the wild and you smell that one specific deer, I mean, mine and your urine smells different. Every deer's urine smells different. So giving them that lifelike one-to-one, you know, smell gives you the best shot. Will blended urines work where you have multiple deer in one bottle? Absolutely. It smells like deer pee because it is deer pee. But that one deer to one bottle is really going to give you that most, you know, the best shot out there in the wild to, you know, mimic an actual doe going through that area, you know, recently. So, you know, the biology behind it is, you know, from my perspective, is pretty simple.
Gotcha.
It's a unique scent. We put, you know, we make sure that it's your retailer. You're never going to have a peg where you walk up and you don't have six. If there's six bottles of urine, we expect you to see six different deer numbers and six different deer to choose from on that peg.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if you say one deer to one bottle, then that tells me that is an actual collection facility where you're collecting actual urine or stuff from an animal, right?
Yes. So we're collecting 100% from one deer, and we can trace each bottle back. You'll see the deer number, you know, it just looks like a bunch of numbers, but we can trace that back to when it was collected and the specific deer that it was collected from. So, you know, a little geeky, a little, you know, it seems a little overproduced, but to us, you know, it makes the difference.
Yeah. And from a hunting standpoint, right, for like me, I like the attention to detail in that. Sure. Just from the standpoint, it's just like, this isn't just a hodgepodge of things that are thrown together and just labeled, right? I can look at that and I can go, oh, this is pretty cool. I can trace this back to a particular deer, and that tells me that was the deer that, I don't know, that's the nerdy side of me, though, that I guess I
well,
like.
Well, sure. I mean, so even, you know, there are products that you can buy that have urine in them, and they have other attractants added to the mix. You can find fully synthetic products that are made, and we sell them as well, but that are made to mimic, you know, the smell of a doe in estrus or, you know, a buck. You know, you can do, there's only so much you can do to mimic the smell. We do the best we can, you know, across the industry, especially where, you know, real deer urine is outlawed or not allowed. But, you know, when it comes down to it, a pure non-additive, you know, pure product is what, you know, what works best. So we typically stick with that. And we have different products where we have, you know, a enhanced version, but it's based on enhancements coming from an actual deer. It's not, you know, not synthetic additives, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously the term synthetic means fake, right? But overall, what is the difference between real urine and synthetic urine?
I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, real urine is real urine from an actual white-tailed deer. So you're getting exactly what you want. You know, we have, basically, we've had, as far as I know, we've overhauled our synthetic line multiple times over the years to try to refine, you know, as we find, you know, new scents that can, you know, give us that smell that's going to smell more like the real thing. We do the best we can. I think we have a great scent line for, you know, those states where you can't use the real thing, but nothing's going to be the real thing. And, you know, we do the best we can across the industry to mimic that. But, you know, you're not going to beat the real thing.
Yeah. So the way I understand a little bit of it, and maybe I, you know, I'm no deer biologist, but during the breeding season, a doe can give off like a pheromone of sorts. And that also triggers a buck to go, hey, she's ready. Like, I'm going to go chase her. So, where does that pheromone come from? And are you able to collect that at all?
The specific pheromone, we collect the urine when we're sure that the doe is in estrus, when she started her estrus cycle, where she's ready to be bred. So that's a testable attribute, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So all of our doe in estrus urine is not just, you know, they go in and out of cycle. Those go in and out at the beginning of the season through the end of the season, and just based on, you know, where you are, those cycles are at different times. But it's pretty much down to science during collection, that, you know, if it's during her cycle, it's provable that the urine was collected during her cycle. And as you stated, you know, there's that pheromone that's in the air. You know, a buck knows when, you know, it's just a, you know, a doe walking by that's not ready to be bred, and when she's ready. So very important to note when using urines as well. It's not like you're really going to scare a buck off by using estrus too early normally, but it definitely gives the wrong signal. You know, so you know, using scents is great, but using them at the right time is important as well.
Right. So when it comes to like these scents and how to use them in your hunting strategy, is there a You know, you guys have a crazy lineup from like pre-orbital stuff that, you know, you could potentially use early season to drag rags, to scrape fixers, to estrus urine, you know, things like that. Explain to us a little bit about your product line and how to properly use them throughout a deer season.
Sure. Yeah. So like you said, we try to supply products that work well and are tested and proven to work well throughout the season. So, you know, your early season, like you mentioned, I love to use a product that like a pre-orbital or a rack rub product to, you know, before you can really, you know, an estrus scent is going to be what is most recognizable during hunting season. So that early season, like I said, it's not good to use that scent because they're not in cycle yet. So typically I like to use rack rub or pre-orbital gland scent during the early season to just kind of pique the interest of a buck, especially if I had, you know, known travel corridors, known scrape locations in the past that, you know, typically get used each year. I like to prep those and set up a camera and see, you know, what I got coming by. Rack rub is a great product to use just because it's not overwhelming and it's not going to – I've never had a buck that came by on camera that did not stop and check out rack rub. It's a good product, easy to apply, and, you know, like I said, you like to find a scrape early in the season, but, you know, we've got products you can make mock scrapes with as well. During the mid season, when, you know, the rut's starting, you know, I love to use an estrus scent, or as I feel like that's your best chance to, you know, catch a buck off his game. I mean, any hunter knows that certain time of the year when they're chasing, I mean, anything can happen out there, and you can pull, you know, he could be chasing a doe and catch that scent, and, you know, it could be right in front of you in a second. So during the middle of the season, I like to use an estrus scent. And then if I've got, if I know I'm after a specific buck that's super territorial and staying in the same area, you know, you can mix in a buck urine or a scrape product, you know, as an infringement scent. You know, I like to do that whenever I'm sure that there's, you know, an alpha in the area. You don't want to scare off, you know, younger deer that way, but older deer, typically they're gonna take to that and not want another buck in their area. And then late season, you know, really just trying to finish out the season. Those does that are not bred early season may come back into heat again. So I'm using estrus at the end of the season as well.
Yeah. So you mentioned something about the cycle may not be ready, but when we look at the breeding cycle of the whitetail herd in general, it's a bell curve, right? Some does go in early and can be bred as early as like the first to second week of October, all the way, you know, if they miss their first cycle and aren't bred, they can go multiple times. Sure. Out, you know, but with peak breeding being the 14th, research shows that peak breeding is done somewhere around November 14th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, and knowing that different deer groups can, you know, doe groups can go into estrus at different times, how would you recommend somebody using that doe estrus? I mean, is that only the quote unquote rut scent, or can that also be used early season as well?
Well, I mean, typically they're different, at least in, I've only hunted Alabama recently, but the, you know, where two counties over, they may be hitting peak rut in the 1st of December. At our place, we're, you know, in south or mid to south Alabama, we're really seeing the most activity between like December 20th and the first week of January. I mean, where it's just an all out, all day, seeing bucks on camera that you haven't seen before, bucks coming through. So, I mean, my thing is, once the season is, or at the breeding season has started in the state, I'm going to that estrus scent because it's not too early. Even if, you know, maybe at our place, I know the best time is late in December. You know, I'm not putting it on the shelf till then. When does are being bred somewhere in the state, I'm ready to go with that. It's your best shot to use out there. So
gotcha.
So yeah.
All right. So I'd like to talk about quality assurance for a while, because there, you know, in order to collect, it's not like you have a bottle and you just follow a deer around and you hold it while they pee, right?
That's exactly what we do.
That doesn't seem very efficient, man.
You know, we're all about quality. So you find people with fast feet and fast hands. You don't make the NFL, come see us. You know, we can find a spot for you on tape. No, yeah, you're not doing that. So can't go into too much as far as the detail as around collection goes. It is a patented process, especially the way that we do it. But what I can tell you is, as far as quality goes, we take a number of steps to ensure quality. The thing that's going to break down urine is oxygen, light, heat, and time. So, you know, we use a process to try to eliminate product sitting out for any period of time. Once we have it, it's sealed, we bottle it and keep it in a cool, dark place until it's ready to go out. We use dark glass bottles to, you know, keep the UV rays off the product. We take a lot of steps to ensure that, you know, even if it's been, you know, a number of weeks since the product was collected, that you're going to get that fresh as you can possibly get it by the time it hits you. Quality is just as important as having good product. You know, if you've ever had a bottle of urine that's been opened and reopened and sat in the back of a truck and taken a whiff of it, yeah, it smells, but that's not the smell that you're looking for.
Right.
So you can tell the difference. I mean, easy to say for me because I'm around it all the time, but anybody can tell the difference in a bottle of urine that's gone bad and a bottle of urine that's been, you know, collected and, you know, quality has been, you know, taken care of.
Yeah.
Whenever you're collecting.
Yeah. So natural urine obviously has an expiration date. Does synthetic have the same type of expiration date?
I wouldn't say that they're the same. I mean, we don't put an expiration date on our bottles. We try to sell out every year at the end of the year. We hope that our retailers sell out at the end of the year, but the steps that we take to make sure that that urine is good when it's bottled, once it's sealed, it should last for a couple of years without any breakdown in the urine. But as far as synthetics go, I mean, the products themselves should last for a longer time in the elements than a bottle of real urine will. But I've never had a complaint about a bottle of synthetic that was expired or, you know, seemed like it had gone bad, because we're using agents that don't break down like natural urine will over time.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about of how do you sense or why, let's say a guy listens to this podcast and he goes, hey man, I have never used scent before, right? And then whether he's been successful or he hasn't been successful, he's never thought to use scent or just hasn't used any type of scents before. Cover this in two ways, all right? From a strategy standpoint, talk to us a little bit about getting deer in front of trail cameras, right? Versus actually using it in a hunting strategy where you aim to kill on that set.
Yeah, so getting deer in front of trail cameras is, you know, important, especially early in the season. You know, like me, I do a little bit of public land hunting. Not as easy to take inventory on public land. Obviously, you got a lot more factors going against you there, but typically I'm using a scrape type product or an early season pre-orbital type product to try to inventory deer, get them in front of cameras, and, you know, you're not sending any message other than this is a place where you need to come lay some communication down. that's what a scrape essentially is. Does use it, bucks use it. They're using their urine, they're using their feet, their inner hooves, their interdigital glands in between, in their feet to send a message. It's basically like they're, writing down a message like, hey, I'm here. Hey, this is, this buck's been here. This doe's been here.
Yeah.
And he, so scents are important to use and to just understand how deer use them during the season. You're trying to basically put a scent down to mimic a doe in the area that's ready to be bred, or, just that there is another buck or another doe in the area. It can be a calming factor. If it's not a sexual attractant, it can be if you're hunting for does, using a doe scent in the area lets another doe know, hey, like there's other does in the area. It can give them a calming or a safety in numbers kind of effect. Bucks early season can be just curious about another buck in the area, especially when they're still running together. So you can use them a number of different ways throughout the season. And, regardless of if you're using them or not, deer are using them. You can kind of impact your level of success by using them and using them the right way.
Gotcha. Yeah, and the right way is very important, because back in the day, I used to use some scent that I got from a guy who raised deer that here in Iowa, and we would do drag rags into basically put a rubber band or a rope around a rock with some cloth on it and drag it to our tree stand. Okay.
Sure.
And the hopes of a big buck following that in and then getting a shot on it. But there's a way to properly do it. Why don't you walk through the proper way to use, let's say, a drag rag? Because you sell drag products that won't get you busted.
Sure. So we take a lot of care to make sure that human scent is not on those drags. That's just as big of a factor as using scents to attract deer. Almost bigger factor is going to be the scent that you leave behind yourself. So it's very important that you're scent free as much as you can, especially when using a drag, because you got to think when you're using that drag, you're pouring urine on the drag, trying to create a scent trail to your stand. Well, the other thing that's creating a scent trail is your feet. So you want to do as much as you can to eliminate your scent. You got to think, no matter how many steps you take to eliminate that scent at home, get in your truck, your truck smells like a cheeseburger or like you've been sleeping in it for 3 days on public land. You stopped and got gas on the way, smoked a cigarette, whatever you do, you're putting scent all over you. So trying to keep scent off your hands when putting out scent, just as important as using scent, because, they're going to detect, you touch all over everything that you're putting urine on, they're going to detect that smell as well. So you want to make that scent stronger, closer to your stand. So like you said, you probably want to start, say, 150 yards out from your stand, refresh your drag it up to your stand, then refresh it when you're about 50 yards away, bringing it within 20, 30 yards of your stand. Some people like to bring it all the way to the stand. I like to bring it to a spot where I've got a good opening and hang it on the back of a tree limb. That'll get it up in the air too. So not only do you have the scent trail on the ground. Now when the wind's catching scent, hopefully it's catching it and taking it to a buck rather than, just laying on the ground. And it's not something you want to put in your pocket while you crawl up in the stand either. You use it as a yardage marker as well, especially for bow hunting. So yeah, you're just wanting to get a scent trail, or, you can use wicks to hanging in a tree. You can get a lot more with some of the wick products that we sell. They'll absorb a lot more urine, so it'll create basically a drip over hours of time before it'll dry up. So different ways to put it out. You can get as creative as you want, or you can literally walk to your stand dripping it out of the bottle. But all about how much effort you're going to put in it.
Yeah. One thing that I used to do when I used scent was I used to grab a handful of gravel and put it in my pocket. And then I would have a really good access route to my tree stand. And then I'd get in to my tree stand. You know, you got to figure out which way the wind is blowing, where my scent wouldn't overlap any of that scent. And then I would take my scent, usually doe estrus or some kind of buck and rut lure, and I'd drip it on the rocks, and then I would throw the rocks into the woods. And I would do that. Now, of course, I spend the rest of the day there with my fingers smelling like deer pee.
let me see how you felt after you threw the rocks.
Yeah, right. So cold then, country. You know, right. I didn't necessarily have any crazy success with that, but I did have, you know, some younger deer come into that on, you know, a couple of occasions and put their nose to the ground and I'm assuming smell what I had thrown over there. And so it was one of those experiments that I really don't know what the outcome was of it. And I would have to say that maybe there was deer there nocturnally that I didn't see. So the experiment's really inconclusive as far as, you know, data is concerned. But when it comes to a guy maybe sitting on the edge of saying he wants to try to take the next step and involve scent into his, you know, whether it's preseason strategy by maybe setting up some mock scrapes over, you know, with a trail camera over top of it, or actually using some kind of doe estrus or drag rag or drip system or the preorbital gland, whatever. Why should they consider using scents?
Well, you know, by using scents, you're not guaranteed to kill a deer. We're not, you know, trying to advertise that, you know, no matter what, you pour this bottle out, you know, 10 points coming out. If he's in the air, he's coming out. You know, it's a decision that, you know, deer are making, what they're after. All you can do is you're hedging your bet. You're giving yourself the best opportunity to, you know, bring him within range. You know, so it's one of those things where, is it going to guarantee you a better outcome? Not necessarily. But if you use them in the right way, it's definitely going to increase your odds. You know, I've had times where I know a buck is in the area and you scent and didn't have any luck. And then other times where bucks have come, you know, straight down a scent trail that I brought in. And, you know, it was just like, you know, it works exactly how you planned it, scripted it for TV. But I just look at it as a way to, you know, I'm doing the best that I can outside of a feeder, you know, shooting a buck over a feeder and patterning him that way. This is increasing my odds to get some traffic in the area, especially if I'm hunting for bucks. You know, does a little bit different, but, you know, this is going to give me the best opportunity. And when it comes down to it, it's a small investment. You know, it's not like you've got to put a lot of time and, you know, money into using scents. Our products are, you know, are affordable. If you kill a buck today, if you spend an extra $50 over the season and, you know, you had success using urine as an attractant, that's a great investment. Yeah. You lose, if you didn't have any, if you don't feel like you had any extra, you know, action because of it, you lost $50. And it's unlikely that, you know, it was because of the product in any way. Yeah. Sometimes it's just not in the cards. You know, knowing your property, knowing where you're hunting, and knowing the, you know, the deer activity on your property is, in, when using scents, is important.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I feel like I'm going to mess around with sometime in September. Or in maybe early season is maybe some mock scrape type scenarios with some preorbital gland on it.
Sure.
And I don't know if I'm going to ever get back into the drag rag and doe estrus type stuff, but I've heard it enough from people that I really respect and who do it a lot that the preorbital, if you can't use mineral, in order to get deer in front of your trail camera, so you can take an inventory or know what deer are on the property that you hunt. The pre-orbital is probably the one of the best ways to do that.
Yeah, and you know, especially important during bow season. I just got into bow hunting last year and found out pretty quickly, you know, how important it is to have a bow or to have deer within range. Figuring out these, you know, scrape sites that I've known for years, like, wow, I had so many different places I could, you know, gun hunt from, have good access to the roots and to the scrape. A little different when bow hunting, so figured out pretty quick that, you know, having that pre-orbital and rack rub scent is, you know, it's helpful. And like you said, bringing them in and getting an inventory. When I'm confident hunting, you know, like anything else, I feel the best when I know that I've got a chance. So taking inventory is a good booster for morale as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on here and talk a little bit about Code Blue. Is there anything that we missed before we shut it down today?
I mean, we covered scents pretty well. I touched on scent elimination. It's just a really important part of preparation for your hunt. You know, it, as we talked about, a deer's nose is just so, a sense of smell is just so strong. So just keep that in mind. I know, you know, the best situation is to hunt a good wind and make sure you don't wind yourself, but take extra steps to ensure that, whether it's your body, on your clothes, boots. You know, we sell products to eliminate that scent, and to me that's just as important as using scents to attract deer. Staying undetectable in the woods is, you know, arguably more important. A blend of both is good. Like I said, we take a lot of care in producing and putting out the products that we offer at Code Blue. So check us out, and good luck hunting this season, everybody.
Yeah, I lied. I have a couple more questions because I just got into the scent elimination page on the website. Okay. So back in the day, you know, there used to be, hey, you got to wear rubber boots. You know, because rubber boots, they will keep your things. I don't, from a personal standpoint, I really don't know how much that weighs in anymore. For me, anyway. Some people, everybody has a different threshold of how they take their scent elimination game, where they take it and how deep they take it.
Sure.
So talk to us a little bit about what kind of scent elimination or maybe even cover sprays that Code Blue offers.
Yeah, so we offer a full line of scent elimination products that will basically help you from when it comes to storing your clothes, your hunting clothes in the off season. You know, that time they spend in a tub or in a shed or in a closet that's, you know, covered with clothes that are, you know, you spend a lot of time trying to not get scent on your clothes during hunting season. What they're doing in the off season is important as well, but you know, making sure that you're scent free as much as you can while you're in the woods is important. I mean, whether you take it seriously or not, deer are taking your scent seriously when you go out in the woods. You know, you can go out and, I mean, you hear like your grandpa say, "I didn't wear camo and I smoked a cigarette while I was sitting in the stand and killed plenty of deer." True enough, still happens to this day, but it's just another step to, you know, give you an advantage in the woods. Our products go from washing your clothes to washing your body. We carry sprays that will eliminate scent on your clothing. Like I said, you wash your clothes, excuse me, get in your truck, you're picking up scents all the way to your stand pretty much. So, you know, we offer a full line of products that will basically any aspect that could, you know, wreck your hunt. We've made a product that will, you know, help you eliminate your scent. And it's not just, you know, there are cover scents out there as well. I don't use them as much. I think the best cover scent we offer is just going to be basic doe urine. That's just going to, you know, it's a natural smell that's going to be everywhere in the woods. So that's a good one to use. But I like to use our scent-free products that are actively eliminating scent on you and your clothing. You know, great product line, something we've had a lot of success with over the last few years since we reintroduced the line. And, you know, we're pretty happy with the performance. Like you said, it's not for everybody, but it definitely comes into play when you're out in the woods.
Yeah. What is the active ingredient in your scents or your scent elimination spray?
We use nano silver to eliminate human odor. So it eliminates a ton of different human odors, but the wording around it gets a little tricky, but it is, we use nano silver as the active ingredient.
Okay. And that is, that's supposed to knock, like, is it something that can like straight kills, stops odor, or does it dilute it to the point where, I don't know, it may lessen the threat if a deer does catch it?
We're going to stay away from the word kills.
Okay.
But we're going to say, similarly, it's eliminating human odor. It's removing the odor from you or your clothing.
Okay. All right. And is this something that needs to be done liberally? Because I see, you know, this is these sprays, right? I see how people use them. They squirt them on their clothes and then they let them air dry for a little bit. Then they put them back on. They go out into the woods, right? The way I look at it is, you know, I'm trying to debate. Here's the deal. I don't know if they work or not, but I use them anyway. Okay. And I don't know why. Maybe it's something that has been conditioned in me for years and years and years, you know, gotta get the spray. I was that guy who used to have those little earth scent wafers on a clothespin on my hat. That's how I started hunting. So when it comes to these scent elimination sprays, right, you talked about this, that silver being the active ingredient, but how much of the active ingredient is needed to actually do the job of eliminating all of the human odor on the clothes?
Well, so yeah, we'll encourage you to apply liberally, especially with the sprays. They, you know, with the product itself, you want to apply liberally because you want it to be touching, you know, the odor. So trying to skimp on spray is not going to do the job. You're going to eliminate whatever it touches. So the more liberally you apply, the better of a job it's going to do. You know, the active silver part of the equation is the same across all of our products. So we found the kind of the sweet spot that will both eliminate the odor and not add a smell to you as well.
Gotcha.
And, you know, you don't want to do that as well. So you'll notice that when you go to smell our product, it's not going to have a scent, and it's got enough of the active ingredient to take care of your odor as well. You know, just try it. I'm telling you, it's wash your clothes with the unscented detergent and let me know how you feel about it, because I can definitely tell if I, you know, use a jacket two or three times in the back of your truck, throw it in the back of your truck each time. I've got a camper shell on mine. That's why I'm in the back of the truck. Throw it in your back seat. Tell me you can't smell anything when you go out in the woods versus right after it's freshly washed. Is it going to get you busted every time? No. Just like scents are not going to, you know, guarantee, you know, you kill a big buck, scent elimination does not necessarily mean that if you don't use it that you're going to get busted. But I can say from experience, I've been busted plenty of times and thought, yeah, this was on me.
Yeah.
I could have done more.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Now we can be done. All right. So hey man, again, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on. And if people want to find out more about Code Blue, where should we send them?
Send them to codebluescents.com. You can find all of our products in most hunting retailers as well. And go to our website. We've always got deals running there. We ship out within 24 hours. great products. We're working hard over the next few months to make sure you've got the fresh product out there. So CodeBlueSense.com, check us out.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.